Hey guys, my name is John, and you're listening to TCK Tales. Today our tale is being brought to you by a friend of mine, Caleb Hartwig. He is actually a host on the XN Podcast Network. He hosts a show called Caleb Talks. And you can listen to that show if you go to xnradio.cc. It's a very funny improv comedy show, and he's a very funny person. What he's going to talk about is not very funny. It is a very real story about his life. But it is a very important story. He grew up as a MK with NAIM, North American Indigenous Ministries, and his parents were missionaries with First Nations people in Canada, and they're still missionaries with First Nations people in Canada. He is coming to talk about being an MK to North America and what it looks like to be a missionary kid in the culture in which your parents are a part of, or in a similar culture to which your parents are a part of. And I'm putting this in this art, in this series of identity, because he kind of wrestles with some of these questions of, I look different, I feel different, I don't relate to a lot of what the classic MKs really feel like, but he still is one, and there are still some similarities and there's still some issues. So without further ado, here is Caleb and his TCK tale.
My parents, Moody alums, met at Moody. My RA calls me a product of Moody love. I don't always hold on to that term, but I think it's kind of amusing. So my dad got involved with North American Indigenous Ministries, NAIM for short, in, I think, right around his second year at Moody. And that was back when it was a three-year program. And so, yeah, he got involved there and did their summer internship and went on to First Nations community, kind of getting involved there, and started to build a relationship with NAIM, and then a few years later got on full-time staff once after marrying my mom. And and so they were moved to a small city in central or southern interior of British Columbia called Merritt. It's got like four reservations around it, and Merritt is kind of the central hub for those reservations. And then it also has like a lot of highways kind of coming through, so there's easy access to the different communities elsewhere in the southern interior. And I'm the youngest of four, and so by the time I came around, my parents weren't as much in the field necessarily building relationships. They'd already kind of made relationships and were maintaining, and so I saw a lot more of that and a lot more of kind of discipleship as opposed to the evangelism. So with NAIM, they kind of noticed that, like, early on back in the 70s, they noticed that having missionaries on reservation kind of in the First Nations communities, kind of surrounded there, they were kind of being put in harmful situations, especially the kids. Just, it's a very toxic environment. There's, the native communities can be just very harmful because of different addictions, and really just enemy, the enemy has his presence in those communities. And so they really started to have the missionaries kind of be in off reservation and going out, reaching the communities, the reservations, kind of throughout the week. And so that kind of left me living a fairly regular life as a Canadian. And I attended elementary school with, you know, predominantly white kids, same with middle school and high school. Middle schools and high schools, because we were a small town, and so we only had one middle school, one high school, so there was a lot more Native population in those. But even then, it was a little bit still segregated. But I think with my experience of having seen my parents work with First Nations peoples, I really saw them as regular people. and they were just kids, and I could get along with them well. And I don't think I really noticed that very much, the fact that I was getting along where other people might not. But for the most part, the school and like my class was fairly tolerant, maybe not the right word, but accepting, just very open to people. And so one part of my parents' ministry that I was involved in when I was a lot younger was the what we call the Native Fellowship. And it's basically church service for the First Nations people that my parents hosted in the church where they were members, but it would be in the afternoon and the building would be empty, so we were able to use it. And they were the church is very generous with us, and they have a working relationship. And so growing up, there was always the option to go to church in the morning or fellowship in the afternoon. And typically I would choose the afternoon because I could sleep in as a kid, or it was more so that I could just lay on the couch and watch TV all morning, get all the good cartoons. And then there were a few kids around my age, First Nations kids, that would be there that I could hang out with, as well as some of my parents' partners in the ministry. They were, like, at certain times they would have kids that were there and I would hang out with and play. But then once I kind of got into, middle school and then especially high school, I started to not go as often, just because I was getting more involved with the regular church, with the free church, and just didn't quite have as many connections with the fellowship as I did with the free church in the mornings. And like, I was going to their youth group and I was involved with the projection program, and later I would play drums and do sound. And so I think the biggest thing that I've noticed as an MK with my parents working with First Nations in Canada, I had, I think, a bit of a different experience because of the fact that we weren't totally immersed into the native culture. We were living in the main city, and my parents were doing different work than a typical missionary might see. And they also, I talked about kind of my experience with my mom just the other day, and I was kind of expressing just like, I feel like I have a different experience. And I was like, yeah, well, part of it, she was saying, was because my parents kind of made sure that us kids, me and my siblings, weren't kind of forgotten about and weren't just an aspect of their life that kind of had to come with them on their missions. And really, they put a focus on family, and they really, like one example being that my dad stepped into the executive director role back in 2013, and they had asked him to move to Abbotsford, where our main office is, but he was kind of like, no, like, we're gonna be in Merritt, especially with Caleb being in high school, like maybe after he graduates, but we don't know. But like for now, we're in Merritt. My dad also really likes to be in the field. Like, he's really not always directly like admin kind of oriented all the time. Like, he has a gift for it, he does it well, but he still prefers to be in the field creating the relationships. Like, that's why he joined NAME. That's why he does what he does. And so being able to stay in Merritt would mean just more development of relationships and continuing with the discipleship and the attempt to grow the Christian community within the First Nations people around Merritt.
TCK Tales is brought to you in partnership with MUCAPA, the MBI chapter of MUCAPA to be specific. Mucapa seeks to provide a bridge for non-missionary kids and missionary kids to really relate and to create good, strong Christian community here on campus and worldwide. It also provides a place for missionary kids coming to college for the first time to grieve and to really understand what they're going through and where they're coming from and what they're coming to. For more information about the Moody Bible Institute chapter of Mucapa, check out MBI Mucapa on Facebook. It is a Facebook group full of wonderful people. I am a part of it. And yeah, there's a lot of really great conversation and things like that. So check them out or email them at mbimucapa@gmail.com. I would also like to say that if you want to support this podcast, please do so. There's a link in the show notes. It would be a tremendous blessing to me. I am a broke college student who is saving up for a wedding right now, and I have a lot of stuff going on. And so I would love very much to devote more hours to this podcast than I can, and I can only do that with the financial support of my listeners. So if you so desire and you feel like God is calling you to help me out a little bit financially so I can help provide more great quality content, a few of you guys are already doing that, and I am eternally grateful. Feel free to support me in that regard. If not, that's fine. I do not financially support any of the podcasts I listen to because I can't afford it. So I also fully understand that, and I am by no means expecting you guys to give me money. And with that, we bring you back to Caleb.
I really benefited from that, and because oftentimes I hear the MK story being moving around a lot and not being able to create connection. So in that, you try and make connection quickly. And that was especially a big thing in like MK orientation last year. It was like, they're like, how do you deal with the MK kind of culture shock, but more so just as an MK, how do you live on campus here at Moody? And I kind of didn't really connect with a lot of things. If I did connect, it wasn't as severe of kind of issues that they were making. And so in Merritt, we had a number of families kind of come and go besides us, kind of like overlap for a couple years, and then they move on. There was one family that was there before us that still overlapped. And so their kids were older than me and older than my siblings, but close enough that they would relate. And so I didn't have much interaction with them, but they were like, the parents were like aunt and uncles to us. They babysat me when my parents couldn't like take care of me, whatever. They were busy. And but then when I was around five, like a couple came with some young kids that were my age, and they stayed there for like four years. They were there, and so I had some kind of MK friends there. They were from LA, and they had to go back. But friendships were pretty stable for me, with like a lot of friendships in kind of the white people in town, like just the regular community within Merritt. I was very much involved. I had sports. I was very involved with school stuff. And but yeah, and so I'd say friendships for me were pretty stable. And like I really only had that one kind of good connection that kind of left. But yeah. So the lack of culture shock coming to Moody for me, I think, really was based in being a North American MK, and specifically like Canada, because Canadian culture and American culture is very similar, and there's definitely some larger differences, and we're made fun of for it, but I take it in, you know, good-hearted humor, and I try and give it right back. And yeah, so culture shock for me at Moody didn't really happen. I even just my involvement with MK and ISF, like the International Student Group, was I kind of more connected with my floor and the guys there, and I spent a lot more time working in that community as opposed to international. And so, yeah, and I think that's just how I felt more inclined towards, and I was able to connect with them well and everything. My identity as a Canadian or an American kind of depends on where I am. It tends to seem that when I'm in Canada, people see me as an American, and when I'm in America, people see me as a Canadian. And it always feels like I have to defend the one that I'm not in. And I think it's just because of that dual citizenship that I have, there's just that dual identity that people point out the kind of oddity and what doesn't belong. And I don't think I have issue with it. I think it's amusing at times where people, especially more so when I'm in Canada and they're like, oh, you're American, you should know about this. Like, what's your thoughts? And I'm like, well, I mean, I grew up in Canada with you guys. Like, I kind of know it. Or it's like, even with like election stuff, I'm not entirely involved, especially because I'm only 19, so haven't really had a chance to vote yet. So my parents' involvement with the First Nations people helped me be able to, I think, normalize them and be able to just see it as another culture that isn't that different. Like, it's different, but it's not weird. It's not strange. It's not bad. And I think in different ways, I've noticed it at Moody, just because people are unaware is a big thing, just unaware of kind of the situation with the First Nations people and kind of just oblivious to the harm that has happened within the communities, especially by the church. Like, the Canadian government back in 1800s, well up until 1980s, they were doing residential schools and getting Native kids, young children from the communities, putting them in these boarding schools and just abusing them and trying to, quote unquote, get the Indian out of the child, and kind of doing that by whatever means necessary. And they weren't allowed to speak their native language. If they would, they'd have to like hold their tongue for hours on end and just stand there, and just starvation. They weren't being fed barely at all. And so just knowing about that and having that kind of background, it kind of, sometimes I have to just like watch myself, especially when people use the term Indian referring to First Nations people, because it's a derogative term that is very much not in use anymore. And so I have to kind of sometimes watch myself, just be like, in my head it's always like, that's wrong. And I have to kind of try and be nicer in either approaching them or just like saying like, oh, it should be First Nations or Native Peoples. First Nations is kind of like the official term that they prefer to be called. And so kind of my understanding of First Nation culture has, I think, helped me also be able to observe and adapt well into other cultures. I think being an MK, like just in general, has helped me with that. I had a opportunity to do short-term missions in Guatemala, and I think just being able to understand kind of the ideas of missions and growing up watching my parents involved in missions, I think it's just been very useful to me in different situations.
What I love about Caleb's story is that he does a great job of explaining difference and similarity. Because he grew up in North America, and he talks about this, he didn't experience a lot of culture shock. However, there are still things about his experience that I resonate with and a lot of people will also resonate with. The fact that he gets frustrated with ignorance. You could sense the hurt in his voice about when that missionary family that he knew left. But at the same time, he had lots of stability and he has lots of really, really close friends, close church connections, close school connections back in Canada. And Canada is very much his home. At the same time, though, he talks about this identity issue and being both Canadian and American and always seeming to identify as the thing that he, as the other, wherever he is. So if he's in Canada, he is American. When he's in America, he is Canadian. He is always the other. And that can be exhausting after a while. But something else that needs to be noted is the fact that his experience did not look like most people did. He didn't have the classic MK experience. I think at times we can blanket the MK experience and general experience in general, and it's not the same everywhere. And that's kind of what I want to explore, what I've been wanting to explore, and I'm continuing to explore in this series on identity, is there can be similarities in a lot of people's experiences, but everyone's is different. My experience is definitely different than everybody that we had for season one and most of the people that we've had on season two. My experience has been unique and real, and it's important to remember that when talking to people and understand that when doing things like I'm doing now or working with missionary kids or working with TCKs or working with people in general, it's important to remember that their experience is different than all the other experiences that you have had or had interacted with. So if you are familiar and have been working with MKs for a long time, you could have generalizations that may or may not apply to the person that you're working with or the person you're trying to counsel. And that is just kind of solved from getting to know that person and who they are as an individual and as a person. Thank you guys so much for listening and for everything that you are doing. Continue to tell your friends and continue to tell people about it. Give us a review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever it is you're listening. That just really puts it in front of other people. And keep telling people about it. If you need to reach out to me, I'm really easy to find. TCK Tales on Facebook. Like the page, talk to us, hang out with us. Or tcktales@gmail.com for an email. If you have a story you would like to share, please go ahead and do that. Just simply record it on your iPhone and send me the audio file, and we'll get working on that. Thank you to XN Radio for the studio space and the XN Podcast Network. There's a lot of really fantastic shows. Caleb's is one of those, so take a listen to Caleb Talks. It's an improv comedy podcast. For more of those, go to xnradio.cc and check out all the wonderful shows. Thank you to Benson Buddies for our amazing music that you are listening to right now. And we'll be back next week with another TCK Tale.